So, hey everybody, it's Tuesday, 4 o'clock. That means I know where I have to be, which is at KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming live on the web at kpfk.org, and also receiving tweets, I barely know how to speak it, at Eric Mann Speaks. And going on our website, Eric at voicesfromthefrontlines.com, which means I must be a guy named Eric. So this is Eric Mann, the host of Voices from the Frontlines. And today we have a very important show. We always have a very important show. So hey, everybody, welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. Very fortunately, we're going to be on with Noah Hanrahan and to talk about Mumia Abu-Jamal in general, but also the whole struggle around political prisoners, the medical rights of political prisoners, and in particular, things she's going to need us to do right this minute from Voices from the Frontlines. Very pleased to have on the show right now Noah Hanrahan, who's with Prison Radio, but it's also, and she'll tell us all the different organizational affiliations, but a person who has just done rather amazing work, of course, around the life and political work of Mumia Abu-Jamal, but also many other black and particular political prisoners around the country who are just going through incredibly abusive and horrible situations where there's virtually no public understanding. You know, our own organization, the Labor Community Strategy Center, and the Bus Riders Union, and the Fight for the Soul of the Cities, the Community Rights Campaign, we have been really truly building or trying to build a movement to so-called free the U.S. 2.5 million prisoners, and that is based on the concept of a racial mass incarceration that's specifically a form of counter-revolution and counter-insurgency against the black-led movement of the two generations and two decades of the 60s. But while it's true that all of the black prisoners are in many ways, quote, political prisoners, they're also explicit political prisoners who have been jailed, tortured, murdered because of their political beliefs. And obviously one of them, Mumia Abu-Jamal, has become both a symbol and an actuality of not just raising the rights of prisoners, but raising the rights of political prisoners and his own political views. So, Noel, it's great to have you on the show, and there's no way I can express the tremendous admiration for the work that you do. Why don't you start by telling us about the general project about Prison Radio, then we'll get to the immediate crisis of Mumia, and then we'll get to the issue of the help that we can give.
Prison Radio really privileges the voices of prisoners and thinks that we can't understand how the culture of mass incarceration is affecting us without those very first-person voices, and that they need to be heard, that if we're journalists and we're trying to deliver information to the public, there's no reason why this group of people can't speak for themselves and also speak on any topic. So our impetus, in part, was political imprisonment. It was the death penalty, places where there's a lot of silence in this culture. But that's really what Prison Radio does. We don't censor, we amplify.
That's a great slogan. We don't censor, we amplify. Now, how many years have you been doing this, and how did the project get initiative? And we will get quickly to Mumia, but sometimes people don't understand the role of organizations and the incredible work that's required to build and maintain one. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's been 25 years. We're in our 25th year, and next year will be our anniversary. It began in part around political imprisonment, so I was very well aware of the U.S. political prisoners and the communities that they came from, so I started producing about that. And then I started producing the first execution in 25 years at that time was the execution of Robert Alton Harris in California in 1992. It's kind of a watershed moment. And we were producing this coverage for KPFA and Pacifica and your station as well. And we really rolled out a lot of great coverage. It won a lot of awards, but we didn't have a prisoner's voice, a death row inmate's voice. And I thought this was really not good journalism. So I really thought after that project, I dedicated myself to really exploring how we could get more of these voices. And it took, as you said, organization. There isn't any radio station or any print journalism mechanism or now web mechanism that's going to dedicate the resources that need to be built in order to privilege these voices, to hear these voices. So we built a nonprofit. We started recording Mumia Embudibal in July of 1992. And, that tradition has been very, very invigorating for us, and I think for the country and the world. I mean, that collaboration is really something special. Mumia Abu-Jamal's ability to do the kinds of commentaries he does, and as many as he does, I think is a testimony to us not forgetting and us not letting go of that belief that prisoners' voices are important and that prisoners are human beings and that their humanity is honored by our listening.
Well, let's get to that great political prisoner and the particular medical crisis that he's in right this minute.
You know, we were in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, citing the Silence Mumia Law that was signed by Governor Tom Corbett. We had our trial on March 30th. I guess that wasn't a good day or two ago. It's been such a whirlwind right now. So we were there. All the lawyers, the young, great lawyers from the Abolitionist Law Center, the Homicide Law Project, and all of our supporters. And we learned. We had known that Mumia has had some medical crisis, really severe conditions, and we were trying to make sure that we stayed on top of them, and we had sent Johanna Fernandez to the prison. She's a plaintiff, and she sacrificed going to the trial because we knew that, you know, we needed somebody to go and visit Mumia to make sure he was okay and to check up on him and to be in touch with him. Well, she came to the prison, FBI Mahanoy, and lo and discovered that he had been that morning, sent by ambulance to outside hospital facility. Now, many of your listeners who know about prisons and who have been prisoners themselves or family members are prisoners, oh, man, you know, if you're going to the hospital, oh, it's got to be really serious. So we were deeply disturbed. We were so worried that we all drove up to Pottsville, PA, right outside Mahanoy, was the nearest closest hospital. We found the intensive care that Mumia was in, and we created a vigil, and we started work in the prison, and we started work in the hospital, an extension of the prison, but it was a real hospital, to try and get access to him and to the information. And we had Mumia's brother, Keith Cook, with us, and the prison stonewalled us. Mumia had a medical emergency that was extremely life-threatening on Monday morning, and he was unconscious when he was taken to the hospital. Mm. We learned that later. So we stayed at the hospital. We stayed at the hospital since Monday at about 1, and I personally and my friend Pam Africa and I slept on the floor of the intensive care facility because they wouldn't let us see him. It was 20 hours sitting there with Keith Cook, his brother, before they let somebody in to see him and before they gave us any information about his condition. And it was a worldwide movement. It was a mass movement that made it possible for us to actually get those two visits. And we had those two visits today. His wife visited for half an hour, and then they tried to prevent Keith Cook, the older brother, from visiting for another half hour. And we fought that, and we boiled that back. And so we've now got information that Mumia is indeed very ill. He did not go into a diabetic coma, but he did have a diabetic shock. And he entered the hospital with a blood sugar count of 779, and he now has blood sugars at like 330. And we have been developing a team of doctors to get some outside support for him and also mobilizing all of us to get the kind of care that he needs. So we're redoubling our efforts. We're talking to him about what it's going to take and the team of people that he needs to really lean on. And we're very, very committed to somebody we've grown to deeply care about and whose family that we love.
Well, again, the work you do, just, you know, you come out of, if I may say, I want to keep getting back to the things we need to do, but you said you formed a nonprofit, but one of the things I think we know is that a nonprofit is simply a legal form by which you receive money that's tax deductible. That's the essence of it. But there are some nonprofits that are movement organizations that have nonprofit status, and there are too many of them that are nonprofits, you know. So there's not a lot of them that.
Oh, Derek, I'll just jump in and I'll tell you the real deal. Okay, the real deal?
Sure.
I was a journalist. I was at KBFA. I was putting a mic in front of Mumia, and Bob Dole got up at the Senate floor and smashed our program. So I picked myself up, and I went to the Quixote Center. And there they taught me how to organize. I mean, it was the Quixote Center, and I joined their Project Equal Justice USA, and Dolly Plummer-Lau and Bill Callahan, and the people that brought us Quest for Peace in Nicaragua, and Equal Justice USA, and a lot of other great programs taught me how to organize. I mean, I come from political prisoner work. I come from Prairie Fire-esque. I had come from that, but they taught me a different kind of organizing. And then I also learned very, very quickly thereafter, I learned a lot from my association with Judy Barry. So when I came back to California, the little nonprofit that could, Prison Radio, joined the Redwood Justice Fund, which was founded by Judy Barry. And so Judy Barry and I collaborated. And if you want to do real work that's challenging the heart and soul of this monster that we live in, you have to be a revolutionary. And both of those organizations, the Catholic Left Revolutionary Conscious Group and Earth First and Judy Barry, and that kind of really intense people-to-people organizing, and very committed to, like, we weren't going to be winning this revolutionary struggle with foundation. It was going to be people. So in the way that Judy organized and in the way that Quixote Center organized, Prison Radio now has 2,300 people each year who help us. The average gift is $53. Yes, we have $1,000 donors, and we have a lot of $5 donors. And we use our ability to communicate with the donors by mail and by email as a way to distribute information. And so we very much value, I'm very proud of the fact that Prison Radio values art, and we value the ability of bringing art into all of our work. If you do something as difficult as dealing with somebody who's on their deathbed, which we just did today, or talking to people who are in solitary or on death row or have done 30 years, you really have to have a real sense of beauty. And so we do that in all the work that we do. And I think it really helps. But it's a combination of, like, kick-ass organizing, working with revolutionaries, targeting the state where it hurts them, and then being really solid on our nonprofit and our ability to communicate with our constituents and our supporters.
Well, that was a very good short course. And you know, I did a book, Playbook for Progressives, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer, and you have just about all of them, if not all of them, because, as you said, it takes a revolutionary perspective to start with. But then it does take the capacity to grasp a campaign, and it also takes the capacity to grasp what a sustained campaign against an enemy is. And I think a lot of people think of a campaign, they just sort of think it's, you know, I don't know, you do things and you have petitions and rallies, but you have to have an end game. You have to have a capacity to win things. By the way, we want to take some calls to talk Noelle both about her work, and we're going to get to some of the demands from Mia. 818-985-5735. Happy to say Stan is willing to be on the phones to listen to your calls. 818-985-5735. I know a lot of you didn't know we would go to the phones. We won't go for about 10 minutes, but some of you like to queue up. So again, 818-985-5735. Now, one of the things back to you, Noelle, is that we know, and there are very few organizers who know, that you're actually supposed to win something, you know, that you actually have an end game. And with Mumia, whether it's been, God, how long to get him out of solitary confinement, or right now, just a very simple thing of how to get the medical treatment, tell us in the immediate minute, what do you want us to do, and how you keep winning things. But let's go right now to what do you want our listeners to do right this minute?
It does really matter. Like, we've put out over the last day or two a list of, say, 7 or 8 numbers, and the numbers are changing because they shut down a number or they turn it off for a while and they make it roll over into voicemail. But even if you're scrolling through and you don't feel like you're making progress in terms of reaching somebody or leaving a message, it is important that you do it because it made an enormous difference. We literally spent 20 hours in front of that door, and I couldn't leave the room because I was afraid that they were going to close the elevators.
Right.
And so we were there because the people outside, the people in your listening area, the people who called, the people who could call or would have called, because you were able to do that part, that is the reason that Mumia Abu-Jamal was undisappeared. Because that was the only reason that that happened. And it was because of all the people, even the people who didn't get through. So it makes an enormous difference. And I'm committed to a culture of winning in part just because I have as a character trait that I don't care who I'm playing, I'm going to win.
That's right.
And so I think Mumia is lucky because I'm tenacious. So when NPR just told me that we weren't going to be playing in their, with, you know, their ball, I was just like, okay, man, I'm gonna really blow this up. I'm going to make this really big because I'm not going to be told that this isn't really important. I'm not going to be judged this way. And it may have taken 20 years, but we're going to win. And winning real games and creating a culture of success, expecting the people on your staff and your team and in our organizing. It's not okay to surf the movement and not strategize to win. It's not okay to, sometimes I say no stage is too small for some people because all they want is the mic. That's just not what we should be looking at. We should only be looking at it if we can really spend, we don't have to win each campaign and we don't have to slay Goliath every time, but we have to be strategic and we have to build because it's only in that way that we will ultimately overcome them. And freedom, if freedom is our goal, and we will never forget that. And it may not come in our lifetime, but it is worth striving for and really being accountable to. Being accountable to the freedom of Mumia Abu-Jamal, no matter how quixotic that feels or how possible that feels, we can bring him home. And we should be accountable to build strategies that will bring him home.
The voice you're listening to is Noelle Hanrahan. It also sounds a lot like the voice of Mumia Abu-Jamal. The two of them have been so close for so long, it's probably hard to know whose sentence begins and whose sentence ends. And we're trying to have a conversation with our listeners about supporting two separate but interrelated things. One is prison radio itself, and the other is the immediate demands. And Noel, I do want you to use the numbers. Is it best, you think, for people to just keep going online? Like, well, let me slow down. Even if they keep rolling over the number, who is the main person right now you want us to be trying to call?
Yeah, good point. Right now, it's the Department of Corrections Chair or Secretary John Wetzel. And then the other person is the Superintendent of SDI Mahanoy in Pennsylvania, and that's Kurtz. So we've also added in a few of the medical people. But basically, it's the Department of Corrections in Pennsylvania and also the local institution, which has a lot of power to give Mumia the health care that he needs. And that is the superintendent of the local institution at the SDI Mahanoy as well. I don't have the numbers right on me.
I do. I'm going to read them both. I have them right in front of me. So the first thing, folks, this is important. Okay, get a pencil. You remember pencils. Put it on your cell phone, however you get numbers. The first guy is John Wetzel. He's the secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. 717-728-4109. John Wetzel. 717-728-4109. What is the very specific language, Noah, that you want them to put on either the message or the call?
That you're deeply concerned about Mumia Abu-Jamal's access to health, adequate diagnosis and treatment plan, and that you will not allow him to be executed by medical neglect.
And you want, what do you want them to do positively? What is the demand that you want them to make sure they do?
You know, I think that they very much know we're in front of them minute by minute. So right now we're going for to get the visits that need to happen tomorrow. So Wadia Jamal, Mumia's wife, is visiting tomorrow, and so is Keith Cook. So we want to make sure that those visits happen. We have not gotten one stitch of medical records. We have not talked to a doctor since he was admitted to the hospital with a life-threatening condition. This is something that's unacceptable. Any patient and their family should have access to the medical records and the information about what's happening with their loved one. And so this is clearly, clearly a violation of Mumia's fundamental human rights. And we need access to all the medical records and everything that we need to do to make sure that we have the Jamal takes care. So that's the immediate today issues that we're fighting today.
And there's also at STI, how you say it,
Mahanoy.
Thank you. John Karastes is 570-773-2158. I'm going to repeat both. John Wetzel, 717-728-4109. And Superintendent John Karastes at 570-773-2158. It would be very important to make these calls. 2 weeks ago, I believe, we had on our Rosemary Molina from the Car Wash Shadows, and she was very pleased that a lot of you actually called. You called the site. You went on the site. You called her directly about helping. So that makes me want to do the show. You know, that's why I wake up in the morning to do the show. So we need you to make these calls. I want Noelle to say if she's going to invest an hour talking to us, we have to help Mumia. You've heard him on the show, of course. So 717-728-4109, 570-773-2158. The essence of the message is we're watching the case. We want what his family wants. We want what the prison radio wants. We want all his medical needs met. We want full access. And as she said, we do not want death by medical neglect. The fact that they know people are watching, and also to clarify in my own mind, what she's saying is don't worry about the specific demands because those will change minute by minute. They know what they want. They may want access to a doctor. They might want not have him moved. They may want to have him moved. We don't have to get involved in the zigs and zags of the tactic, but we do have to get involved with making these calls. So I'm going to say it again. 717-728-4109, which is the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, and the Mahanoy SCI, which is 570-773-2158. Noel, how do we reach Prison Radio? And also 818-985-5735, but only call if you plan to help Mumia Abu-Jamal right now. Don't call to discuss prisons in general. Don't call to discuss Mumia in general. Talk. The only thing we want to discuss is what are you going to do to help? So tell us.
It's a life-threatening situation. I mean, honestly, it's a life-threatening situation. His blood sugar is still really high. I mean, if he doesn't get adequate care right now, we're going to lose the person that we've come so to love. I mean, we're going to lose this amazing intellect. And we have to stand up for that. You know, we have to make sure that Mumia Abu-Jamal does not die due to medical neglect. He was in the infirmary for 2 weeks in February. They did 3 blood draws, and they didn't detect the potential insulin deficiency. Really? Okay, this is insane. This is definitely a big problem. I mean, this is something, and you're right. If we're keeping an eye on them, if we're putting pressure on them, it's much more likely that Mumia Abu-Jamal will survive and that we'll be able to create a culture that's going to actually demand his release.
Let me ask this, Noel, and again, our number at KPFK is 818-985-5735. But I'll say again, because I'll cut you right off, the only thing I want you to say is that I've been working on this. How can I help? My union's going to do something. I'm going to form a little group. I promise that I will send a tweet at Eric Mann Speaks. I'll send an email at eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com, which a lot of you did last week, and I'm sorry. I will read them, I promise, next week. What about doctors, Noel, about, you know, I know you've organized just about everybody for Mumia. Are there doctors who could say that they want to put their own professional reputation on the line to be making these demands as well?
Absolutely. I just met in California. I flew back a couple days ago from California when I met with Terry Coopers, who is an MD, PhD, prison specialist and a psychiatrist who has volunteered and going to be part of Mumia Abu-Jamal's medical team. And I also met with Corey Weinstein, who is an MD homeopath who founded California Prison Focus, who also was talking to the family today and is beginning to review medical records. So we have the beginnings of this team. We actually contacted them back in 2019 2007 to be part of OMIA's legal team, and we're really stepping it up and reinvigorating it right now. But yes, we have medical professionals. We probably will end up needing more. We're going to need some East Coast medical professionals because both of these positions are located on the West Coast. But we are engaged and really interested in working with people to build that team up.
That's great. I'm going to put you on right now with a couple of listeners, but several have called again, which I really appreciate. They wanted the numbers again. So the first thing is Richard Ellers, who's the director of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, Healthcare Services, 717-728-5311. And the email is Rellers, like as Richard Ellers, R-E-L-L-E-R-S, @pa.gov. And then Superintendent John Kerestes at SCI, I'm still not going to get it right, Mahanoy, at 570-773-2158. Now, let's take some calls. You're going to be talking directly to Noel Hanrahan, not to me. So, Bob, on the road, please talk to Noel. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Noel. Okay, yeah. I'm going to tell you, you have to let me just tell you briefly, the only person in the United States government.
All right, we're going to cut him off right now. Thank you very much. How dare you insult the show by getting on the show and making a speech. Next person here, Morris, if you're not talking about helping Mumia Abu-Jamal specifically, we're going to cut you right off as well. Go ahead.
Oh, you don't have to cut me off. I think he should run for president while he's in jail. But I'm very much concerned about his health. I've been keeping up with him, and I know those folks down in Pennsylvania are not going to be happy until the man is deceased. The one question that I do have, Noel, would a voting campaign help in terms of getting people more acclimated towards voting and participating in politics and whatnot, particularly our young people? Would that help us with some of the problems that we're having with our prison population today?
You know, I think everybody should do where they're at. You know, I may not think we're at a vanguard moment. If you want to organize in your community and there's a strategy that you feel particularly drawn to, I say go for it. You know, there's some particular ones that I think are really important, like disenfranchisement. I think we need to roll that back. I think if you want to empower voters, you should start by empowering prisoners to vote.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And by the way, sorry for copping an attitude. Sometimes I just get very concerned about most of our listeners are right on the money, and once in a while, you know, the speeches just drive me a little crazy. So 818-985-5735, thank you. So 818-985-5735, a lot of you are still asking for the information, which is great because that's the point. 717-728-5311. But I think the most important thing, we have about 3 minutes left. Is that right? Oh, when she called, a listener, Stan, help me understand this. A listener wanted me to let you know that when she called the number, the guard did not have any idea about who Mumia is. Does that mean that she called the prison itself? Stan,
yeah.
Is that the understanding?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what
that
is...
That could easily be true.
So what does that mean?
That means that the person who picked it up was the guard on duty, and they could either ask to be transferred to the superintendent's office, or they could start engaging with the guard. I mean, I think it's important to... that they understand who is residing in their community, who is residing right there in their prison.
Yeah, I did that, you know, on several cases. I called. I ended up talking to a secretary. I introduced myself. I didn't just give a speech. I got to know her a little bit. I explained the case. She didn't know much about it. But if you make a human connection, she said, all right, well, this sounds important. I'm going to do something. So let's remember that these guards are people. They're political. You're political. And as Noel said, if you just get on the phone and you talk to him, explain, but also explain what you want. So it's important to say, I need to leave a message. The message is that Mumia Abu-Jamal needs full medical treatment. How do we reach Prison Radio, Noel?
If you can go to the web, www.prisonradio.org, you can call us at 415-706-5222. And get on our mailing list, because we do send out a lot of postcards, posters, stickers, things that people can really, tote bags, things people really can use in their uniforms. And then we made the amazing, amazing...
Noel, I'm going to have to say goodbye right now. So one thing is very important about Prison Radio is they do accept contributions, as she pointed out. All right, important show today. We discussed the life-threatening emergency for Mia Abu-Jamal have to do with the attack on the black nation, the attack on voting rights, the attack on the black community, and the attack on black leadership. So this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Front Lines. Love to get an email at www.voicesfromthefrontlines.com. Stan, thank you so much for doing the phones. G, as always, thank you for being an amazing engineer and board operator and everything else you do. And folks, give to kpfk.org. They need the money. There's going to be a fundraising drive next week, apparently, and I'll be on it. Take good care. Thanks, Crystal McMillan, the producer. This is Eric Mann saying, all power to the people.